Broadcasting from deep within the second realm, you are listening to agoristradio.com.
Hello, this is Hero White of the Cypherpunk Show. Agoristradio.com is sponsored by MetroPie.net, SSH proxy and VPN services. Privacy is your right, only if you defend it. Please support our sponsors and tell others about them.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Cypherpunked. Today we have another special guest coming to us from the Second Realm, Ben Godwin. He's a graphic web designer from Austin, Texas, and he's the co-founder of JustLive.us. And he maintains this blog that is covering the topics of solutions for self-sufficiency, mutual aid, agorism, and community. Ben, are you there?
Yeah, here. How are you doing?
All right, good. Thank you very much for coming on the show today. Yeah. I ran across this website probably around a month ago, and I was a little taken back at the quality of the web design and the whole style of the site, and I thought for a moment that it was just the article that I was going to. It was just an anomaly that was posted on there from it wasn't actually the topic of the website. It had something to do with agorism and self-sufficiency. I think it might have been even an article that was posted from someone from Vera Verba. Then I started looking around at it, and I realized, no, this is the actual website. That's some impressive work you did there.
I appreciate that. Thanks, man. Yeah, that was sort of the goal I had going forward with it, is that there's so much good content out there, and as far as the presentation of it goes, there's a lot of hit or miss. And so I wanted to be able to bring a lot of it together under a good interface and something attractive that could make it easy to read and easy to look at.
Great. How did you get interested in these topics?
Well, I mean, I could start pretty far back as far as political ideology, but towards the end, right before the launch, my co-founder, Harold Gray, and I had been noticing that there seemed to be sort of a trend, not just in what we had discovered, but that a lot of our same circle and other people we were running across were bringing up the idea of actually taking action, actually trying to stop, doing protests and things like that to confront the state head on, but rather to look for alternatives that you could actually accomplish in daily life. And so we started seeing a lot of that. We started getting into it ourselves and sort of noticed that there weren't all that many places where agorism and other subjects like that had been compiled into a single resource. And where they were, it wasn't necessarily a user-friendly experience to sort of sort through all the articles. So we got together and we both did the planning. I took over the design. We worked together on it, and that is where it is today. So it was sort of a matter of timing, really. Right. And so it's worked out pretty well.
It looks like you've been up for about a year now. Is that it, true?
That sounds about right. As a lot of times things go, we had a lot more posts, you know, maybe like 5 a day at the beginning. It's slowed down a little bit now. We're hoping to ramp back up pretty soon. You know, life goes on and you get busy, but we're always looking for any sort of guest posters.
Right.
That way, you know, if we get busy, it's not going to keep the site from being updated. So if anyone is interested in writing on those topics, we'd be happy to have them on as a guest blogger or a co-blogger or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But we are definitely hoping to ramp up and do a lot more frequent posts soon.
Oh, that's great. One thing I like about what you mentioned with your motivations was this word action. I think that poster that I'm not sure the guy who created that poster where it talks about, you know, agorism, it says agora, anarchy, action. And that third word, action, is something that is key to what drove me and got me interested in taking this particular route with my energy toward living a free life now where I am. And there's so much focus out there on, and you see this, the epitome of it in a way is the Alex Jones environment, where you just have people complaining about stuff that the government's doing and then talking about protesting or voting someone else in or just, you know, grabbing a hold of your constitution and loading your gun. And that goes all the way with some of the Tea Party stuff and the like. So much of it is focused on resistance rather than where you see in the New Libertarian Manifesto and other agorist writings, these ideas of ignoring a lot of the stuff that's going on, being aware about it, but looking at alternatives. Instead of focusing on the anti-Federal Reserve stuff, focus on creating your own new currency or educating people how to use it or just using alternate currencies. So this idea of action is just something that is so fantastic. And I talked to you before the show, you used the word action a few times, and I really like that.
Yeah, and it's funny that you brought up Alex Jones and stuff like that, is that actually a site that Harold and I founded together a few years ago when we were both sort of trying to, you know, I guess it's a constant stage of evolution, but the focus of that site was more on the, this is how bad the state is, this is how bad the corporations are, this is how bad everything is, and it was just a constant barrage of bad news. You know, it was this is what the government's covering up, this is what's coming down the pipe, and everyone should stock up on things, or I don't even know if it went that far into the actual taking some sort of action, but it was more here's everything that's bad in the world, and that was pretty much it. And so we had that going for a couple years. I wasn't really posting on it all that much. We started to talk together and get more information, and we both at around the same time independently just sort of got really tired of that whole mindset, the whole
right.
idea of let's just focus on everything that's horrible and not necessarily how to counter it. And I think it's even less about countering it in the sense of an equal and opposite reaction. It's more just about living your life, which is sort of where the title of Just Live came from.
Right.
It was instead of focusing on all of these negatives, it was just live your life, you know, be happy, do what you want, live as if you were completely free. And the more you can do that, you know, no matter what's going on the outside, the better. You know, it's not a head in the sand thing.
Yeah.
It's it's just a matter of not giving more credit to the externalities than is due.
Yes.
And really just focusing on doing what you want.
in a recent show that I was a guest on, there were it was out of Holland, and it was fascinating to hear them talk about all of the legal things that many groups over there are doing that are similar to the sovereign individual. That's not the proper term. There's another legal term that people are using in Canada right now, where they are individuals that are separate from the state, but they declare themselves with these legal documents as separate sovereign entities. And they were doing the same thing in Holland. And the presentation had a frame of this is how to become free. This is how to be an individual who is not liable to the decrees of the state. And I had to make the same type of point. The problem with that frame is similar to what you were talking about. You place yourself in a position where you say, my masters will not let me be free, instead of saying, I am free. And if you need to take some of those legal maneuvers, it's just because you're going to just play a little shell game with some terrorcrat who's trying to impose his will on you, not because you are actually achieving anything in terms of freedom when you do that. And if you do focus on the master is doing this, master won't let us do this, our leaders won't do this, we need to, it just stays inside of this slave mindset. And it all is slave speak. So this idea of just live and focus on doing your own things and building your own systems, it's really fantastic. I know that some articles on your website, and there are some blogs I'm involved with, we do cover things of state abuses. But in many times it's to show, in my case, I can speak for myself, I try to balance out solutions with expositions, exposés of some of the issues and problems that are going on out there. Because I've heard some people talk about how Rothbard was so much anti-state, but then Konkin actually talked about a path to take after that. So there is a balance there, but in most of the patriot-type stuff and liberty things out there, they are just so much focused on the anti-state. And then you get into a lot of the people who may be pure anarchists, and they do not accept overthrowing some type of a system through voting or political reform. They also go into another extreme where they'll just go back and sit in their caves, and there is no action there. So, you know, then we move into like what we're talking about, where it's proactive. This is where we can put our energy. I like your little logo up here, the self-sufficient revolution on your website. You have the little farm there with sitting right next to the cow. You have this little solar panel. Very nice.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm glad that you recognize it as a solar panel, because it's pretty stylized. But hey, you know, that's what it was. So that's pretty awesome. But the thing is, you know, the phrase direct action or the term has been around pretty much for the entire history of anarchism and probably before, but in this context, and it's taken on so many different forms. I'm trying to recall, and if I can find it, I'll throw it in there. But there's an article about the sort of the different phases of the anarchist movement and what the sort of the paradigm was for action and ideology and the balance that took. And we're, according to the author of that article, we're in, I think, the eighth phase now. And it is a different take on action and ideology and synthesis. And it's, you know, whereas some of the, there were phases in the movement where propaganda of the deed and things like that and violence were used as the supposed best way to accomplish things. There are other times when it was mostly ideological and people sat around just talking about stuff. And there have been other times where action has been taken, you know, the Spanish Civil War and things like that, that had some combination of the two and some other alternative methods, like setting up communities outside of the authoritarian structure. And so I'll try to find that because it's interesting. If not, maybe you can put it in your show notes or something like that.
Yes,
but,
even if you give it to me after the show, I'll do that.
Yeah, for sure. I did want to say, though, that I found out who made the agorism poster.
Uh-huh.
It's a guy or a person called Thor's Miter Saw on DeviantArt.
Okay.
And so if people are interested, they can go find it there. But yeah, but the whole thing with direct action is that, you know, the most productive method is creation. You know, a lot of people focus on destroying the state, destroying the corporate autocracy that they have here, and versus building something.
Yeah,
and yes, of course, we want those things to be destroyed, but the question is, you know, are you spending all of your time attacking something little by little, or are you building something new that can push it away from below?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where I like my focus to be, and I'm glad that I came across the ideas of agorism, and that it seems to be a phase that more and more people are entering now, with on the right, you know, of course, with the failure of Ron Paul to get elected, and all the energy that went into that, with people campaigning and donating and everything. A lot of people came from that and sort of became completely disillusioned with politics, and were looking for something else.
Right.
And you know, on the left, a lot of the information has been towards building alternative communities, especially with the internet and the focus in even the mainstream on things like community gardens and farmers markets. I mean, you have regular ads, you know, the mainstream SUV society getting into all of that stuff in some degree or another, to, I think, an extent that hasn't really been seen for a long time, if ever.
Yes. That's one thing, you know, you mentioned some of the right and left, is that I've seen people coming together and working on some of these alternative systems with political views that would normally seem to be diametrically opposed, but they are actually very much similar. And that gets into sort of like the Nolan chart, where you talk about, you know, you have people on the left and you have people on the right, and then you have power going up toward the top and less power toward the bottom. And it's like many of these people are willing, they wouldn't mind living in their own, let's just go to the extreme, they wouldn't mind living in their own communist environment or community, but they're willing to allow other people to live in theirs. It's not an idea. It's not this concept of totalitarianism. It's more about them wanting to be free, wanting to be independent of a state or a federal government or international, dictating all of these things down to them that they need to do as far as the food that they eat, whether it's you know, GMO, or the money that the particular currency that they need to use, or how their children are going to be educated. You have this whole spectrum of people that want to just do things themselves. And I see them coming together in many ways that never I haven't seen before. I think on one example would be like some of the people who you would consider to be, you know, patriots who are interested in preserving some of the core values that they see and cherry pick out of the Constitution, and the people who are, you know, real big with about their gun ownership and stuff like that, even though most other issues they really don't care about. There's a large spectrum of people like that, and you can see a lot of them in the Tea Party. A lot of them are becoming more aware of what's been going on with the Federal Reserve and the money systems, and they're looking for alternative currencies. They're learning about them right now, not just the physical gold and silver themselves, but some of the stuff that they can do online and the awareness out there with Bitcoin and the like. And those people are people who, if you brought up anarchist ideas or agorist ideas in the past, they'd look at you like they would color you with their perception of what they've thought and read about what they thought were anarchist. And now you go to them and you don't necessarily say, hey, here's these anarchist ideas. You say, hey, there's this thing called agorism where, you know, and you start talking about bypassing in the Costco and Walmart and the farmers markets and then exchanging value for value. And most of these people do at a core level believe in individual liberty. But many times they've kind of extended that and delegated a lot of that to the state. They just think the state's gone too far. So you start talking about these things and they say, oh yeah, I should have the right to exchange goods with my neighbor. I should have the right to use gold as a currency for this and that besides barter. You know, and then in the next thing you know, they're just really excited about these ideas of building new systems. And like you talked about, direct action and the agorism. So, and then you have the same groups coming from all over. So I think that it's a fantastic thing that individuals right now can be working on direct action. There can be people of many different political perspectives that are interested in creating and using these alternative systems now. And so it gives a sort of cooperative, a synergy starts to happen rather than all of these different groups just fighting for political control over their particular geographical territory, local or national. So,
yeah, and in the way that direct action, or at least the way that I like the most for it to be defined, you know, is basically anything that you're doing by yourself or with others that doesn't require asking someone else to do it for you. You know, it's like it sounds, you know, direct action is if you think that that there should be, or if you think that food should be more local, instead of spending your time and effort trying to lobby for a local food bill or something like that, just start growing your own food, and encourage your neighbor to do that, or start a community garden, or start a farmer's market. There's all sorts of things that people can do and are doing instead of begging for it from their political or corporate overlords. And I think what you're saying with all these different people sort of starting to see the same. Concepts is that I think that most people can tell that speaking specifically to the United States or North America, and I guess at following or prior to that, the rest of the world, in sort of complete collapse at some point, or at least really, really tough times at best. I mean, we're already in those, and I think for the most part, people don't believe the recovery messages they're being told. So I think everyone's looking to sort of to survive, to thrive, without relying on a system that they can see or feel is not going to last for very much longer. And so that crosses a lot of political divides in itself, and then of course with the internet and with a focus on the environment and a focus on community, a lot of that is sort of coming together to create centers of action that cross a lot of lines. I mean, the one thing that you can pretty much guarantee everyone thinks is that all politicians are bastards. I mean, even if they go out and vote for them or it's usually a sort of last resort or I don't know what else to do sort of move. There are not many people out there that whether in polls or that I come across personally and that other people come across and tell me about. Not a lot of people are out there being like, you know, this politician is awesome.
Yeah.
In general.
Well, it's there was a rush of that with Obama, but man, has that died down.
And exactly.
People are looking at him as just this little impotent, you know, guy.
Or negative even.
Yeah. I mean, at best, it's this guy's nothing. He has no backbone and this and that. He's the same as these other guys. You know, seeing them as you described, I think that the other part of this is these social, political, financial infrastructures that are integrated into our, you know, Western, well, worldwide cultures and like at such of a deep level. So many of them are seen not just as, like you said, the politicians as frauds and failures, but these systems themselves are being seen as fails. So for an example, the money system, people are seeing, hey, my dollars are not safe. I'm looking for an alternative store of these values. Not necessarily because I have some type of gold fetish and this is, you know, gold is the future and everything. It's they're looking right now for alternative solutions to issues that they have that are real at this moment. And that may be a lot of people are doing that for the educational systems out there in their particular areas, financial, like the stuff with the GMO and a local gardening. They're not just looking at good things for the future. They're looking at alternatives to these systems now. And that's one of the ideas with agorism is that exactly that. And that is create new systems that are solid, that are, well, they may be local, they may be international, but they're all based upon voluntary interactions between individuals, and they answer specific problems that are there. One of the shows that we had recently this past week was on Huala, and that system addressed a need that people had. It wasn't necessarily people that were looking to be to fulfill some desire to be free and to have a new economic system, or they were looking for people in that were migrant workers, so-called illegal aliens or the like, in Asia, traveling over to Dubai, and they are working in hotels and the like over there, and they need to get money back, and they may only be making a few bucks an hour, and to send back money that's going to feed their family and give their kids medical care and education, $10 can go a long way. $100 can go a very long way. And if they go in to send this money through a bank wire transfer, the banksters may not even allow them to do it. If they go in MoneyGram or Western Union, if they can do it there, they're going to get stuck with a huge percentage on a chunk of their money. And that may feed their family for a week just on that transaction. And there are thousands, tens of thousands, and millions of people like this throughout the world. So an alternative system like the Huala system and some of these new financial transaction value transfer systems, Bitcoin, we've covered a lot of that. We'll be doing more. They are starting to address these particular issues on the ground. And they, as they grow, they gain strength and stability and resiliency to attacks from other people, and they fulfill needs now. So I think that's what one thing that these people are turning to is they're looking for solid solutions as these other structures are starting to fail around them.
Yeah, and it's and currency, of course, in today's world and for a lot of people is very important because that's how their entire life operates. You know, if you don't make money, you can't eat, and that's really how it works. So all these alternative currencies and alternative exchange mechanisms, I think, are really important undercurrent to support people continuing their regular life, basically. So you're not necessarily going to be able to convince someone that that one monetary policy or the other is better, or one system is better, and that's the entire point, is that there's a way to continue essentially how they were working before, but with positive changes. So it's a good transition to have people move from, you know, government-issued or central bank-issued currency to these other forms. What I'm personally interested in, even though I think the currency thing, and I'm especially interested in Bitcoin right now, but what gets me excited is the possibilities for mutual aid and for forms of you know, local and, like you said, international or global exchange and cooperation, people getting together. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, why don't you expand a little bit on what exactly you're talking about with mutual aid?
Well, the money thing is sort of what makes the world go round. And that's how it's been for a pretty long time. And of course, money being a form of exchange is a convenience token. And so coming up with alternatives for that is fantastic. But I think that people in general over the last century or so, at least, have been, at least in the industrialized world, have been driven apart socially and even though I think the space has gotten closer together, the social connections have been driven apart. People spend all day at work where a lot of their interactions are impersonal, and then they come home and spend most of their time watching TV or being on the internet or whatever else it may be, and there's not as much of a social connection. Uh-huh. I just watched a documentary. I don't remember when it came out, but I just watched it. It's called God Grew Tired of Us, and it is about the Lost Boys. hold on a second.
Yeah, throw me the link over there now or after the show, and I'll put this up as a reference.
Yeah, it's a documentary about the Lost Boys of Sudan, and it shows it's an incredibly troubled part of the world, and it tells the story of a few of these young guys who had gone through some hellish stuff and got visas to enter the U.S. And it just the contrast between the level of material comfort, which increased, you know, many, many times based on where they had been, but the amount of social connection, the amount of sort of family ties they felt to their friends, the amount of time they got to spend with them was cut almost down to nothing. And even though they were in a much better situation, it was hard to say whether or not they were actually happier, and that's what they were struggling with and what they talked about in it. And I saw another similar documentary that, I think it was the BBC, and it took these people from different sort of remote tribes and brought them over to the U.S. to sort of live temporarily with different families across the country.
Right.
I don't remember exactly what it was called, but I'm sure people can find it. It had much the same thing. You know, the level of material comfort had increased significantly. The amount of technology, you know, they were all amazed by that. But their observations about people's connections with each other had, you know, were mostly negative. And I think that what's happening now is that we may be getting to a point where the technology is being matched or being brought together with the idea of actual communities, virtual, physical, both, and in a lot of and people actually working together in a less outward fashion. You know, most people spend their time giving their labor to someone else. And the idea of being able to support each other with that time and energy is a much more inviting and sustainable and, you know, if I use the word natural, way for things to be. And it's not about returning to, you know, no technology and being primitive. I don't think that's really the point of those experiences. The point is
exactly.
It's a mindset. It's an idea. The internet has brought people together in ways that could have never been imagined, and bringing that sort of community together in the real world as well, or in the physical world, is what I think is happening now. And if we can use the internet and other technology and things like hydroponics and other inventions that are coming out to help people to help themselves and to help each other, is really where the focus of Just Live is, and it's what I'm passionate about.
Right.
And so the nexus between the technology and the mindset, I think, is what's really interesting about where things are going in the movement in general, and I think even beyond it in the world at large.
Yeah, that is really great. I know that in my own experience at right now in these different projects and things that I'm involved with, I see exactly what you're talking about happening with me and my associates and friends. And this is way, 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 way beyond the, you know, Facebook friends type silly stuff where it's just, you know, I got a bunch of friends and we exchange silly YouTube videos with each other and like that. A lot of that's going on, and sure, you go view the biggest videos that are being virally shared on the internet, and you're going to find cute kittens and other stupid stuff. And a lot of people look at that and criticize this whole P2P and self-publishing and this communication that's happening between people and individuals. And they'll take that and kind of just, you know, say, well, you know, all we have now is just P2P MTV instead of stuff that's really happening on the ground. But underneath there and in different levels that are not seen with the most popular stuff, this is happening. This has been going on with me and the stuff I've been involved with for close to over a decade. But this snowball has been rolling down the hill. I know you mentioned something about feeling this undercurrent, this sea change type thing that's happening with all of this technology and these ideas. And it's not, as you mentioned, it's not just a particular like project, like what's happening with Bitcoin, but it's these relationships and people coming together and hooking up and working together on things that they wouldn't have been able to. I know that there are very few people in my own physical meat space that, I mean, I interact, I have social connections, but there's other things that are going on with like a lot of the topics that we're talking about right now with the self-sufficient farming, these ideas of the tribal type things happening with your own community connections. Yeah, it's all coming together. And I think that the most powerful stuff happening right now doesn't have a particular website and it's not visible. It's the connections that are being made, these networks of trust that are happening that are based on you, and they extend out from you. So, yeah, this is all very exciting. On your website, you have this little slogan at the top. It says, "Get off the grid, mind, body, and soul." A lot of the, like, this show is called Cypherpunk, and so we focus on a lot of technical stuff. But in this realm of self-sufficiency, have you much experience with some of these new farming things with, you know, this, I've seen this square foot gardening and other urban farming technologies that are coming out. You mentioned the hydroponics. Are you into that?
I've just now started to get into it for myself on the ground. So I think Just Live is going to be updated with some more personal experience. But I've been spending some time researching it and trying to figure out, you know, what I'm going to do for myself and getting an idea of what's out there. And you know, and that's where I think, you know, even though we discussed already the sort of fear mongering side of things, a lot of the survivalist stuff that's been batted around since pretty much forever, but you know, especially after World War II, people living in the mountains, saving up food, that sort of thing, having guns, a lot of that is actually out there in badly coded archives that is useful. I think that the difference, though, is that the mindset from that is, I think, essentially counterproductive. The idea of running away with just you and your immediate family to some remote outpost and holding up is not ultimately sustainable. And right. It doesn't really serve to help change anything. Mm-hmm. It's giving up, in essence. And people say, you know, we're in this horrible system, but I'm living free because I've run away to the mountains. Well, that's not really true, because presumably, if it was a free society, if you had choices, then you wouldn't have run away to the mountains. So you're not free if you're forced into a situation by an outside influence. And so I think taking that knowledge, which is valuable, and applying it to a sustainable, community-oriented situation is really the ultimate place to take this, is that mm-hmm. it's not a divide between the survivalist types and everyone else, or any other sort of rift like that. It's about bringing together knowledge and information from all these different points and applying it to sort of an overarching mindset. And I think that's what the internet and just sort of the zeitgeist of what's happening now is doing. It's bringing together all these disparate elements and combining them into a stew that I'm really excited to see continue and to help in any way that I can, you know, for myself and others. I know I did find the name of that show I was talking about. So it's called Meet the Natives USA, and I think they did it one in the UK as well. But
yeah.
That's about tribes from the South Pacific being brought over to the US and their observations of the difference in lifestyle. But anyway, so it's the survivalist stuff that's being brought together. It's the green stuff that's being brought together. It's the locavore stuff that, you know, that's coming into it, and it's the technology. You know, all of that stuff existed well before the internet, well before all of this network ability, and now people are able to discuss that and to actually make it happen. And you know, I hope that Just Live is at least a small part of that and becomes a larger one going forward. And
oh yeah, yeah, I think so. And then with our huge audience, maybe you'll see a big, you know, you might want to check your logs. You might be checking your site today. You might get a slash dot effect after people listen to this podcast. Well,
that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, but well, we don't have that big of an audience right now. But, you know, just for the listeners, I'm just going to go through some of the interesting, you know, you have some of these posts on here on your main your main page, just to give people an idea of some of the latest posts here. I have Grace Boggs, Detroit and the Next Revolution, Gonzo Times Mutual Aid Publication First Issue. All of these are little articles. Against the Grain discusses worker-owned co-ops. Roderick's Longs Toward a Libertarian Theory of Class. Basic Blacksmithing, a video. Bob talks making sauerkraut from scratch. Half measures are full of fail by our friend Jim Davidson. Jim, we're hoping to have Jim on soon. He's lined up, so we're going to cover that. Let's see. Just Disobey It has a nice little Nike logo, an article by Kevin Carson. Copy Wrongs by Samuel Edward Konkin. I'll go through a few more of these. Anarchists at the Tea Parties, quote, want to kill us all in public office. The Radical Roots of Libertarianism by Samuel Konkin III. Spiritual Survival in a Temporal World, Chapter 9, Seek Harmony. Here's an interesting one. Buy, sell, swap, meet, barter, and negotiate for free. Article posted up there by Herald, which has a great little infographic here talking about different steps and how to get started. Who wrote this article?
Well, I know Herald posted it. I think he combined it from a number of sources.
I see a link here going to swapspace.com. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm going to have to...
I think it's either his write-up on that or he copied it. Let me see.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah. Well, this is super. I love seeing all this stuff popping up all the time. You know, before it seemed like the articles and things and systems and websites and they were like few and far to between, and now it's like every day I'm getting hit in the face with like some new blog or website or project that people are working on. The next article, the state's desire to regulate behavior gives rise to the black market. So those are just a sampling of articles that are on the front page, and of course there's archives that go throughout the inside of the history of the on the website. So, well, we're coming up close to the end of our time here. This has been a real interesting and fun little discussion. Can you tell us about anything that you have seen or felt with your interactions with people on the ground? You mentioned like farmers markets and the like, or on communities or other projects that you've seen, any type of interesting personal stories. I mean, you mentioned the mutual aid thing, but I was wondering if you had any particular examples of stuff that you may be seeing on the ground or on the ground in cyberspace with your circles of people that you're involved with.
Yeah, it's funny because like we were talking about before with people coming from the different backgrounds to the sort of the same conclusions, I've been seeing people come to this sort of idea what it very much seems independently. I mean, in other words, I didn't say, come check this out or what do you think about this or whatever, like a conversation about something completely arbitrary will turn to a topic about self-sufficiency or about what to do with in a collapse situation or what to do to move beyond the sort of long supply chain corporate-controlled grid that we're in, and people, you know, who aren't necessarily even interested in politics or anything like that, just talking about this out of the blue. I've seen that a lot online. I've seen it in person during conversations, and almost anyone, like you were saying, almost anyone you bring up this concept in general to is like, yep, that's a good idea. I mean, I've not often heard any sort of dissent in sort of random day-to-day interactions, you know, at the store or whatever, just casual conversation. This sort of thing it's a buzz. There's definitely something different. I mean, it could be that I'm just noticing it more because I'm interested in it more, but I don't know if that's actually the case because I definitely see a change in people starting to bring this up on their own and definitely – at least inklings of it, and I think that's a really good sign.
Yes, it is. I've wondered the same thing myself. Is it just because I'm noticing it more? But I don't think so. I'm seeing it online and offline, the same exact thing. it's wonderful because so many discussions in the past would tend to be, you know, you talk about a particular problem and the immediate solution would be, you know, something that the king needs to do. And it's something, you know, that still happens now, but when you can bring up, instead of saying, well, here's a solution, and they see, whoa, wait a second, this is something that can be done right here and now, and everyone can do it, and it doesn't require any type of coercion or a king. Yeah, I see this happening all around, too. That's really nice. Any particular things that we can look forward to on the website besides just regular updated content?
Well, Harold and I actually have a project in the works. I can't really talk about it too much now, but we definitely would be interested in coming back on a little later once we have it solidified and get feedback and see what you and your audience think about it. But we're working on a project in this realm, and I think I'm pretty excited about it. We just sort of started planting the seeds and getting some stuff together for it.
Oh, great.
But I'm excited about that. The site, hopefully, will update it more. And like I said, if anyone has this sort of thing that they would like a platform for and don't want to bother setting one up or like this one, we're always looking for more people to post to keep the content coming. And that's what's going on. Hopefully, we'll have more information about other projects soon, but I definitely think there's a change in the air or a trend, and it's exciting to watch.
Fantastic. Well, we can't wait to hear what you're working on, especially if it's in this realm of interest of all these things we're talking about. If you are interested, folks, in a lot of the stuff that was mentioned today, check out the main post for the show archive that's going up shortly, and we will have links to many of the URLs and sites mentioned on here. Check out their website. And do you you guys take I see you have a donation page here. You accept Bitcoin? And
we will probably right after this show, because okay. That's one of the updates I've been meaning to make. But yeah, I mean, we take your classic PayPal and other stuff like that, but I'll go ahead and add the Bitcoin hash on there shortly.
Okay, super. And also, I think you mentioned something about that you might be open for some web design work. Is that true?
Yeah, I am a freelance web designer, and I just now started accepting Bitcoin for that work as well. And my site is ambivertcreative.com, ambivertcreative.com. And I just started taking Bitcoin there, so that's sort of an experiment for me to see if people are interested in using a digital currency to pay for digital media. So
yeah, right. And using a designer that they can do some agoric economic activity with.
So absolutely.
And I'm sure that you'll take the 100% of the value in the for any work that you do and put it to the use that you feel needs to, rather than someone else taking a chunk of it and making more of a mess in the world. Well, Ben,
definitely.
Great. Thank you very much for coming on today, and we would like to have you on again, of course, when you have some more information on your project and maybe to give us an update, and maybe sometime we can talk about some of the different articles and focus on a particular topic, because it was fun going over this stuff with you today.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on.
Yep. Take care. Goodbye, man.
Thanks. You too.
All right, folks. That was Ben Godwin, and the website is justlive.us. Check out the podcast archive for all the links. Thank you for listening. This has been another episode of Cypherpunked.
Dodge this.
Hello, this is Hero White of the Cypherpunk Show. AgoristRadio.com is sponsored by MetroPipe.net, SSH proxy and VPN services. Privacy is your right, only if you defend it. Please support our sponsors and tell others about them.
Broadcasting from deep within the Second Realm, you are listening to AgoristRadio.com.